Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Empowering Midwifery Education. I have some more meetings with legendary ladies. It's hard to get all three of them together, but I'm very excited that we scheduled 3 months in advance. Kathy Gordon, Carolyn Geiger, Hillary Slinger have been midwives for many, many years. That's the new slogan we use when we don't start talking 40, 50 years anymore. So the last few conversations we had were kind of the history of midwifery, where we think midwifery is going to go. But they all have very exciting things in their wheelhouses, specialties going on. So I wanted to more just talk exciting trends in the midwifery world going on. I'm going to start with Kathy, just because I can see her first in my screen. Kathy's got some exciting news from Kansas and something she's been working on.
Sure. Kansas is making history as we speak. We will be the 26th state in the union to give 100% full practice authority to all branches of nurse practitioners. And it was voted into law as a supermajority. So we are just waiting for the bill to be signed by the governor. If the governor chooses not to sign it, it still goes into law. If she chooses to veto it, it goes back to the legislatures for an override because we have a supermajority. So we are just partying hard with the Jayhawks, who won the NCAA championship. We are just saying rock chalk Jayhawk all the way through. But in addition to that, you know, as normal, I ran a lot of bills. Many fell to the wayside, but one of them that got passed again through super majorities of both the House and the Senate was a simple bill. And it's something for everybody to always think about, but it's a definition of a birth center. And the birth centers in Kansas right now are not well defined. You can't find them anywhere in the statutes unless you look under child care licensing, which nobody thinks to go look under daycares to find a birth center. Yes. Well, there's some strategy behind putting it there, but there's also a lot of pitfalls when you want to get licensed or you want to have contracts with third party payers, et cetera, because they can't find you. Right. So we had a definition change, or we requested a definition change, and you'd think, why not, right? Well, here's how the politics...
Something so easy, right?
Right. It's a simple, birth centers are healthcare providers, or healthcare facility providers, right? Very simple. One would think it went through supermajority passing, and then our healthcare stabilization fund people stopped it. And what that means is the insurance providers for the state of Kansas, if you choose to go with that route, stopped it because they want to put restrictions, mandatory restrictions on it. Issues like payment premiums, minimums of premiums, things like that. And we're like, what? We just need the definition. So it's interesting how politics go. The nice thing is the revisers went, you can't just change and add all these rules to a definition. It goes into a new statute. It needs a new bill, blah, 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 blah. You can't do that. And so I'm like this, right? Well, we're still in the drop dead or keep going process. But the interesting thing that I share with you about this is one can believe that the legislators have all power, and then somebody on the medical side comes up and squashes that. So with that said, again, that's why we need more nurses, more midwives in the legislature. We need insiders, because until we have a constant daily voice, we get stepped on. And birth centers are very small. There's five of them in Kansas. They're very small compared to the big hospitals. So we go like this. If we don't have that constant insider approach, we can't have our voice heard. And it's we can't be at the Capitol every day telling the legislators, I'm still here. I'm still a business. I survived COVID. We're still alive. We can't do that because we want to run our businesses. So with that said, I'm just going to encourage everybody, run for office. I'm doing it again. As you already know, I'm running for Kansas state representative, because on my Facebook site, you guys can go to Kathy Gordon Facebook or Kathy for Kansas. You'll see my incumbent talking about us. And it is so horrendously embarrassing for our profession to be compared to as janitors and secretaries of a school system.
Oh, my.
We we are better than that. That's the foolishness of legislators. So you can go, I'm like, hey, I don't have to do anything to this to just post what she said.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm doing. They don't relate. The people be like, okay, you've sold more votes my way. Thank you. Keep talking.
Yeah, so it's like, so my point is that was part of getting the nurse practitioners across the board. So in Kansas, we currently have independent practice for nurse midwives, but it's not full practice. It's birth and delivery and postpartum. But the crazy thing is, the lowest liability aspect, primary care, wasn't included.
So can I just have a couple of things as I'm listening to you talk.
Yeah.
One of them is that somebody who was my student, who's now in starting the last semester of her DNP, and I talked to her about what her long-term plans are. So this past weekend, she was just talking about wanting to, in the future, thinking about running for state legislature So you are not alone in midwives thinking about that. The other is that hearkening back to the birth center and the laws, when the ACA passed, what was that? How many years ago? It was just the 10th anniversary. My. And included in it was reimbursement for birth centers. And there was the word licensed. And at the time, New Mexico was one of three states that did not have a birth center licensing law. And people liked it that way because we have a history of having basically partera apartments, you know, where people would have a room or an apartment attached to their house. Well, we had to do birth center licensing in order to get reimbursement. And in that first round, they brought in, you know, sort of like you're talking about, they brought in somebody who wanted it to be like a surgical center, and none of the birth centers in the state would have met the requirements. And it was that same
centers.
Going through, no, we really don't need those wide doorways that you can put gurneys through, and on and on and on. You know, and a lot of people here had, you know, like in Taos, it was in an old adobe house. They weren't going to knock it down and redo it to meet those requirements. Right. So yes, my heart goes out to you, and maybe that's why we need lobbyists.
Yeah. Well, and I think
we need to go to the next level. We need to be on the inside. Right. The lobbyists aren't the answer. The legislators want to hear from the constituents more than the lobbyists. We need, you know, when you think
need to
of
be
just
at the table.
That's right. Our profession isn't that small. Yeah. And if you add nursing with it, so even if you take midwifery without nursing and you add nursing with it, we are one of the largest professions in the United States. Right. So I think it's number two, depending on how you look at it, or number three. So there's no reason why we can't have a bigger voice. We've got to stop getting stepped down.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Think a lot of times that's the innocent of legislature, Kathy. We don't know just like the business, and we know how to take care of and catch babies really well, but we don't understand politics. Our innocence is we just got to get money put into lobbying because that's how you change things. So you're really educating everybody about how do we make change for definitions and advocacy on the internal side. So I love all your tips and wisdom.
Well, we got to do it. And here's another thing, just real quick, a snippet. This is so silly, but one would think, you know, vital statistics is a very, very important aspect of documenting our deliveries, for example. Was that baby with a midwife or a physician or an other, you know, maybe that, you know, whatever, however you define it, a nurse midwife, a non-nurse midwife, a physician, MD, DO, whatever it is. And so one of the things with vital statistics in our state, we can't sign the stillbirth certificates. We have to take it to our collaborating physicians. Now, that's an awkward thing because our collaborating physicians unfortunately, this baby, you know, we knew this baby was going to die because it has, you know, trisomy some 21 or whatever, or 17 or whatever. It has a disorder and unfortunately it didn't make it to birth. And so we're going to deliver this baby. They don't want us to transfer them. but we have to take the death certificate over for a signature. So that's another, it's these little things, these barriers to practice to make us better, just to save our time and our administrative burden on getting things done. We need to have our have the ability to sign. So that was another one of the things we had going. It fell across the wayside because of other important issues, I'll say it that way. But I'll tell you what, if I'm in office, it's going to happen because we have to have these barriers removed. And a lot of times I tell other people, what are the barriers to what you do? If it's something that we need to change by law, let's change it.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's my 10 minutes.
Where's your campaign poster?
I know we needed the backdrop for you, Kathy. You
got
I know I'm not fancy enough to do that, but yeah, I have a Facebook page and a web page. It's called Kathy for Kansas. So anyway,
Michelle,
go listen to that legislator.
Yeah, I was going to say Kathy Monroe, the nurse midwife in Georgia, is also running for office. So we've got some great internal ladies that are awesome, going to help us out. So it'd be amazing to have every state have some sort of nurse or healthcare professional that advocates for birth workers. So could you imagine some LCs, doulas, all these different variations of birth workers going for politics and really making some internal change? So
one of the things I learned as this is just so cool. As I have gone to the legislators and talked about birth centers and midwives, how many of them have used a midwife? And even you all know this, you go and say, hey, I'm Kathy Gordon. I'm a midwife. And they're like, well, that's cool. And then they tell you their birth story, right?
Right. Yeah. Immediately. Okay.
So I can't tell you that the most encouragement I've had by advocating for midwives and birth centers in our state is hearing their stories. Mm-hmm. So they know me as the birth center lady. They know my business partner, Kendra White, as the birth center lady. That's just normal. So anyway, telling your story is all it takes. Okay,
I'll put Kathy. I love it. So yeah, so Kathy's realm and wheelhouse is the political side and advocating for midwifery on a state and eventually a national level. Carolyn and Hillary more are on the educational side. Carolyn does a lot more with ultrasound. Hillary is doing midwifery schools and a more, even you're adding some online courses as well. So I'd love to shift to Carolyn just because I see you next on my screen. Some of the exciting things you're doing and all the great things in the backdrops I know about, but the community may not.
Well, thank you. I've been busy with Leslie where my company is Ultrasound for Midwives, and we educate midwives and nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and physicians occasionally on point of care obstetric ultrasound. And it's something that has taken a long time to get to where it is at the moment. I've been doing ultrasound for a long time, and early in my career was told that only physicians could do ultrasound, and I've proven that's not true. And many midwives and nurse practitioners have really struggled with being able to get the education that they need to be able to do ultrasound and to get the buy-in from the people that they're working with, that this is appropriate part of their practice. And so multiple things have happened. The American Institute of Ultrasound and Medicine in 2018, it's 4 years ago, but it doesn't seem like that long, published two papers actually about the appropriateness of midwives, nurse practitioners, and physician's assistants all performing obstetric ultrasound, as well as interpreting it, which is huge, and being able to bill for it, also huge. Mm-hmm. So, and they gave suggestions on education and laid out a beautiful scope of practice that fits perfectly well for us with point of care ultrasound. And so it's giving rise to more midwives being able to practice ultrasound at the bedside, and to be able to write their own reports and interpret this and use it in their practice and get information right on the spot where they should, and in the hands of the midwife who's caring for the woman. I mean, it's just, it's a win-win all the way around. And so it's happening more and more. Leslie and I just finished a 4-day, 5-day.
It's all a blur. I think it was 5 days total. I think it was 5 days. The last day at the beach, but yes.
Yes, I did. I definitely did. It was a 5-day course where we had midwives come from around the country and nurse practitioners from around the country to take part in either a 1-day or a 2-day course and learning to do hands-on scanning. Prior to coming to the course, they took our online course that gave them the background information that they needed to be doing the ultrasound. And then they came and did 1 or 2 days of hands-on scanning. We had volunteer patient models that came. We ended up with over 90 patient models volunteering over the course of those 5 days.
About 120, if you want to count me in the rotation, but yes, that's it was right. Definitely a lot of ladies. And we were so blessed that the birth center gave us such a gorgeous space to use too.
The Charleston birth place hosted us, and they could not have done a nicer job for us. And what a fabulous facility. I think everyone that walked in was saying, can we have a tour? Because yes. It was such a great, great place and a wonderful venue to be able to do all of this education in. And we're excited. In addition to doing this big course, where this time we had 45 participants, we also go out and do small practice courses. So if you have 4 students or more, then we'll come to you and teach you in your own practice, on your own machine, with your own patients, how to do hands-on obstetric and gynecologic ultrasound. And it's so exciting to see this growing and so much more demand and being accepted around the country. So, and we have through the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonographers, we have a midwife sonography certification exam that is growing. And I'm thrilled at how many of the midwives that were at the course were planning to take the exam. And I know that several of them have already signed up. So that's very exciting. So that it just adds more confidence to being able to take on this advanced scope of practice. And I'm
think, Carolyn, you and I have talked about it a lot before we start recording. I look at you at the grandmother of ultrasounds of the United States. Chatted about it because you have so much knowledge in your mind. And I was like, how do we get this out to more midwives? The schools don't train much on it. And it's kind of learning. I mean, I'm the other innocent average midwife. So I'm like, okay, Carolyn, you've got this amazing knowledge. How do we get it out to more people? And so, you've just been, it's been an honor the last couple of years watching where your services have gone. And even just the team, you've now got a team of 5-6 sonographers. So some of them are nurse practitioners, some are midwives, some are nurses that are helping you and spreading this knowledge. So I'm very excited to see the opportunities to midwives that you're going to continue to bring.
Yes, I have a marvelous team and they're looking forward to getting out around the country, and we're getting them set up to go to around the country to do these courses. So stand back. Here we come.
Excellent. I love it. Go ahead, Hillary.
Yes. Question for you. Since I always seem to bring in the voice of the CPM and licensed yes. midwives, is when you talk about scope of practice and about billing, what are you finding with the CPM community in ultrasounds?
Well, at this point in time, I've not heard from the CPMs that they have been, that they even have been trying to bill or that they have been successful in billing. I have two courses coming up soon that are exclusively CPMs, and I'm looking forward to talking with them more about how they're doing this. They're very excited to be able to do the bedside ultrasounds. They have difficulty sometimes in getting their patients seen by radiologists in the community, and there are long waits to get the information back, and they really need to have this information for their clients. And so,
so knowing the patchwork of legislation as I do, I would guess that it really depends on jurisdiction, and that mm-hmm. ultrasound, for instance, in New Mexico, GYN is included. Well, Women Care is included in the scope of practice of licensed midwives, where it isn't in many other states. And in the same mm-hmm. way, Washington State has now become the first state to give licensed midwives prescriptive privileges, direct prescriptive privileges. And so there's changes that go on state to state. And so it may be looking at scope laws, because my understanding is that reimbursement is based on whether something is included in scope. And so
interesting.
Yeah. So maybe that might be part of the conversation as well, is to have people, you know, and just as Kathy's talking about having to lobby or go to your legislature. And I know that there aren't LMs or CPMs in Kansas, but there certainly are in 36 other states. And, you know, hopefully at some point there will be in Kansas as well. But
there's
quite a few.
You have them, but they don't have legal status or
there's no licensure.
Exactly. So Illinois, actually, and I hope I'm not stepping on Carolyn. Were you done?
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah. So, so Illinois just became the latest state to have CPM licensure, and they've also worked just passed a bill to change the language, talking like what Kathy said about language changes. There's they just changed the language to include reimbursement for birth centers for licensed midwives there, even though they haven't. they're just starting to set their licensing up, but they worked hard on just last week, I believe, getting licensed midwives as a new category in birth centers and Medicaid licensing. So those were like quickly one of those states where they quickly made it, set up licensure, put it into the Medicaid language and put it into the birth center language. So,
well, we're going to have to figure out who helped in Illinois so we can figure out who that person is to help out the other states that made that happen.
Well, and this is where there's a group that's called the PUSH campaign, or the Big Push for Midwives. And right. they work with the consumers and have a legal consultant and help to get that consumer voice in there as well. As well as working with midwives in the state. So I know that Illinois was a long road, and some people feel like that's because it's the home state of the AMA. And so it took a long time for it to get CPM licensing, but they did. And so it's now going forward. So this is some of the things that I've been doing. And I feel like I'm juggling. I have a whole bunch of different projects that I've been working
Whatever is exciting that you want to talk about today. And that's what's when you guys all started chatting and we were like brainstorming topics. I was like, there is so much excitement in every direction you guys are working on. I just want people to know the amazing things you're involved in or what's out there.
So I'm working as a CPM educational consultant. And Kathy, do you have to go?
I do, but I was going to walk with you till I have to go. But
okay.
Yeah, I'll sign off.
Stop all out, right. Kathy, you go take care of your mom. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
Good luck. So I've been acting as a CPM educational consultant for different states and different groups. And one of them is with a group that's in Illinois. I think that there's a lot of states that are looking to CPM education as a way for building the midwifery workforce. And in California, for example, there's a bill that passed. It was Senate Bill 65. And gosh, put in SB 65 and read it, because it's a pretty amazing bill. It's known as the California Momnibus Bill. And so while the U.S. Senate is still working on its momnibus.
Oh, yes.
California did pass one, and in it, and you know, I know the pieces of it. There's Section 5, Article 4, which is called the Midwifery Workforce Training Act, and it designates that there should be money for midwifery education, both for CNM education and for licensed midwife education. And so people are looking at how to take advantage of that. There's so much going on in saying, how can we ramp up midwifery education and ramp up the midwifery workforce to really meet the need? So I, even though I'm a CNM, I also have entered via CPM, which I talked about in our previous videos, and I'm really interested in CPM education. And so I am currently working with a small school called the International Institute for Healthcare Professionals, and have been working on midwifery accreditation. In the past, I was a volunteer accreditation on the accreditation review committee for MEEC. And then I've also been asked if I would do some small midwifery classes online for people who are in those states that still have the apprenticeship or PEP route. And so I've been doing midwifery education for a long time. I also have an ACNM accredited 6-week course for CNMs who are interested in opening a home birth practice. And there's been a lot of interest in that during the pandemic. So I just got it re-accredited, my home birth practice essentials, which is, Leslie also has a home birth course, but I have.
Yeah, I think you and I, course. We talk how ours blend very well. Yours is far more intense. You go into the in details. Mine's about 15 hours and it's more the business side. So I think you and I, we complement supporting midwives in such a nice way, because we bring, I think when you and I chatted before it started recording, like I don't look, midwifery is not about competition. There's so much opportunities out there. There's angles. What are you looking for? What can we support you with? I mean, I encourage people to take both. Like your 6 weeks is going to bring a different angle to look at than the 15, 20 hours I have in my course. So no, there's so much opportunity out there. I think post-COVID, it's been this massive demand for midwifery and riding this momentum. Right. And how do we, I mean, I consult midwives all over the country that their OBs are retiring, they're opening women's health clinics, they're opening practices left and right, because there's such a huge demand for women's health care and maternity care services all over the country.
Yeah. So mine is 60 hours, and it has you do things like write a business plan and write letters to consultants and investigate business licenses. It also does include an overview of safety. It includes writing your practice guidelines. What's the difference between a protocol and a guideline? How do you look into your state laws? What do you need? And ending with self-care, because I know Leslie and I have talked so much about self-care. So that's one thing that I'm doing. And I'm also starting a month by month. I think of it as an online study group for apprentice midwives. So back in the old days, when I started, we would have study groups. And I know I ran a study group in the mid-1980s in upstate New York. And we'd have people at all different levels come in, and we would pick topics and work together. And so for the newest type of study group, what I'm doing is I'm putting putting information online. People have a month of access to, oh, the first course is starting with just really basic antepartum. They'd have access to six different modules, and then weekly study group sessions. And so I just launched midwiferyclasses.com as my website. So.
No, it's so exciting. And I That's know after awesome. We're done recording, I know Carolyn and I would love to. I don't want to throw too much at her with all my crazy ideas in my head. She needs to go on vacation next week and then we'll have her meeting. But I just like even the CPM side, she's coming out with some online and in-person courses, and we would love to brainstorm with you. I know pretty well the out-of-hospital community and what their needs are. But from your perspective on the educational side, how we could really help bridge and beat these barriers, because I hear so many times midwives just buy a machine and they start practicing because they don't have that resource. They don't have that support. Right. And so it'd be amazing to pick your brain, because there isn't hard guidelines with MANA, with MEEK that I could find, and maybe Carolyn could find different of if it's in or not in the scope of practice. ECNM has a position statement, but I can't find anything for CPMs and licensed midwives. Is there something I'm missing, or is it just kind of
a lot of places will use the core competencies of MANA and of MEEK if they have MEEK education, and MEEK has really pretty in-depth core competencies. I could certainly share that with you.
Do they include ultrasound in that?
So some of it is, I think that they leave open the specifics. It talks about comprehensive prenatal care. I would have to go back and look at, and I certainly can do that, look at the MEEK competencies. I don't know that it's performing ultrasounds, or whether it's left open in the understanding and interpreting diagnostic testing. So I'd have to go back and look at the language of it, and perhaps you would want to come through it and do a comparison of what it says in the ACNM documents versus what it says in whether it's, I know that MANA doesn't specify ultrasound, but it might be more included in MEEK. And you also, because it's such a patchwork legislation of from one state to another, right. I think they don't get to those kind of specifics, but we can certainly look together at it.
That would be great, because with the advent of small handheld ultrasound machines that are very reasonably priced, there is a huge interest on the part of out of hospital birth midwives to be purchasing these and using them in their practice. Mm-hmm. And so we certainly are extending our education to those midwives, and at our big course just recently, we did have a handheld ultrasound machine. Actually, we had four of them available for the course to get everyone oriented to them and such. And the vast majority of what we do with point of care ultrasound can be done with a handheld machine. So,
and it so makes sense for somebody who's in a birth center practice or a home birth practice. And gosh, I can think of things like, okay, I love bringing the stories in, but somebody who's pregnant for the fourth time, and she came to me for a 38-week visit, and the baby was breech, and I sent her to her backup doc, who had an ultrasound. So that was on Friday, and on Monday, she had an ultrasound and the baby was head down. And then 3 days later, she went into labor and the baby was breech.
Yeah.
So home birth midwives really want to be able to do those point of care.
100%.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
And it makes all the difference in the world in getting that information point of care right at the bedside and knowing what's going on. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. What is it that's presenting? I mean, at your most basic level, I know that there's so much more to it, but at your most basic level. So,
yes.
Yeah. And then I always bring in the business side, you know that, ladies, but I just, the benefit when I talk to midwives of when so much of their revenue stream is just based on maternity and being available for birth, that's where a lot of correlation of burnout is happening. So I talk a lot about making their birth center, home birth practices, women's health clinics, multiple ancillary services. And it talks a lot about the ultrasounds, about lactation, about all these amazing services we can join together to build for, or it just makes them more likely to choose you as the service because it's a one-stop shop. So, I mean, and we could talk about the quality side. I mean, if you can't find a heartbeat at 10 weeks to give them reassurance, they're panicking till they can get in the next day. I mean, the emotional and the quality side of being able to do these bedside ultrasounds for private out-of-hospital practices is immense. It's just absolutely immense.
And I would say that that's why a lot of people choose a midwife is that they don't want to have to go into that more clinical setting because of that individualized care and to be able to offer an array of services within that. And you know, I'm thinking of so many things. I'm thinking of somebody who's not sure if they're miscarrying or not, and not having to sit there waiting in the ER while they're bleeding through their pad, or you know, just different situations that have arisen to be able to offer that. And so we can certainly talk about that. I also wanted to, when I was talking before, I have a couple of other classes in the works. I've been asked about pharmacology for midwives, and I know that I've put together a short course that I'm calling Pharmacology for Birth Assistants, and a much longer, more in-depth course that's a pharmacology, that's more like a pharmacology full semester class. I've also been dabbling in doing some exam prep for people who are about to take the NARM exam. And just some other things that are in the works. No, I'm always busy.
Yeah. You will get your awareness out there, and you're going to have, just like Carolyn, the doors are going to open faster than you know how to handle it. So. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I've been having a discussion with some folks about the NARM exam, and I think it's the same thing with the ACNM one, is just the idea of how you take a multiple choice exam.
Oh, really important.
Yeah. And because for so many people, as I speak to them, I know that they have the knowledge, but how do you scope out which even the way that the question is written, right? And 100%. And usually you can eliminate two of the answers, but it may be for any of these, whether it's an exam for ultrasound or whether it's an exam for the ACNM or for NARM. And there are people who have so much test anxiety. So those are some of the things I'm looking at for the future.
Yeah, it's so needed. I would be in that same boat when I was in school. I was like, I know this stuff, but I could barely pass the exams because I would overanalyze it, or I'd go down a rabbit hole. I would interpret it wrong because I'm a terrible test taker. I can tell you that. And so I freaked out taking the ACNM for the AMCBE certification because I'm like, I know my stuff like the back of my hand, but I'm a terrible test taker. So it's awesome that you're going to be helping out students, midwifery, aspiring generations, how to support them so they can decrease it and feel confident.
So that's it.
Oh my goodness. I am so excited for what you ladies are coming out with. And so yeah, I'll put in the description for this video, everybody's contact information. So Kathy, who had to leave to go take care of her mother, I appreciate her hopping on for the time she gave us. If anybody needs help with politics, legislature, I mean, Kathy, I've known for 10 plus years in the birth center franchise, like model, she's phenomenal with what she's doing in the Midwest. And Carolyn's needs no more introduction with her. If anyone needs advice or support with ultrasound expertise, and Hillary, I think just even both directions of educational programs, you and I have had many conversations of how do we bridge all these barriers of what's not should be part of the core training in schools that people are expected to get later. So yeah, we have some very exciting things coming.
One more comment, because the Home Birth Committee of ACNM has arisen and is starting to put together a, I know I was working on a flyer for payers about reimbursement for home birth, which is certainly a large topic, but it is a topic of discussion within the ACNM about how do we incorporate home birth and birth center midwifery into midwifery education overall. Yep. So I know that's an very important discussion.
Yeah, very important.
Well, we'll leave that for another day. I appreciate all of you greatly and all the wisdom and knowledge. And I know you're all very open to getting emails and having conversations and helping out with all the midwives out there. So we'll put all your contact information underneath and they can all reach out to you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Good to see you.
Bye.